Good to see everyone today. My message this morning is not from the book of Galatians again, simply because since this is a brand new year that's been given to us, I thought I would preach a message that would help us to be more conscious about our time and how we use our time, how we spend the time that God allots us in this world. And then next week, we'll get back with Galatians. We have two lessons to go. So Psalm 90 is where we're going to be looking at this morning, Psalm 90. I have preached from this psalm several times. It's a great psalm, and one I think that probably we would do well to read probably once a week or so, just to keep our mind in the right place. So beginning in Psalm 90, verse 1, says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years are in thy sight, but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away with the flood. They are as sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet there is strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. It's hard to believe it's 2020, right? I can remember thinking back many years ago, I won't live to see 2000. And here it is, 2020. It's hard to believe, but like they say, time flies when you're having fun, right? And so it goes by rather quick. Now, time in the Bible, we know, is linear. Time had a definite point of beginning, and it's moving toward a point of conclusion. And so it has a beginning, it has an end. It will end when Christ returns. When he comes to take his church home, that will be the conclusion of history as we know it. Time is one of those fascinating subjects. The more you study it, the more you look at it, the more fascinating it becomes. I mean, just think of how time is woven into every aspect of our lives. We say stuff like, what time is it? Or how old are you? Or what time do you want to get up? Or I don't have time for that. Or it's time to go. Or time out. What time is supper? We speak of criminals doing time. We measure time. We have time zones. And there have been countless songs that have been written around the topic of time. Just a couple you might be familiar with. If I could save time in a bottle, right? All of us, I think, have heard that song before by Jim Croce. Or does anybody really know what time it is? That was by Chicago. It's a good song. And we sing songs in church that reference time. For example, take time to be holy. Or Jesus is coming soon. Or now is the time to worship. And so as you think about it, time is woven into every aspect of our life, of every day. We cannot see, touch, taste, hear, or smell time, but all of us can see its effects upon our lives. All you have to do is look in the mirror, right? And some of us look like time has slapped us around rather good, because it's not anything you can see until you look in the mirror. The thing about time is time refuses to be managed. Time is completely outside of our control. And any seminar you go to that's on saving time, just forget it, because you can't do that. It's impossible. Think about it. Try stopping time. Try it. See how well that works. Try saving it. Try slowing it down. The only thing that we can do is we can manage ourselves. We can't manage time, but we can manage ourselves within time. And Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. It's the only psalm attributed to him. And if that's true, I believe it is, then that is the oldest psalm that we have in the book of Psalms, written by Moses. It's a great psalm. And in this psalm, Moses speaks of the brevity of human life. In verses 1 and 2, Moses speaks of the eternality of God. Before the heavens, or before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In verse 3, he speaks of the brevity of human life. And then in verses 4 and 5, he makes a contrast between the eternality of God and the brevity of human life. And notice some of the word pictures that he gives us here to describe just 1,000 years to God. It's like yesterday. Or a watch in the night, just a small period of time. Or grass. These are the terms that he uses. Very, very vivid word pictures. So what's his point? What's the point of this psalm? What is Moses saying? Well, here's the point. You're not going to be around here very long. That's the point. That's the whole point of this psalm. You are not going to be around here very long. James says the same thing. What is your life? It is a vapor. It appears for a short time and then it vanishes away. And so we're not going to be around here very long. And so Moses was gripped by the shortness and the uncertainty of life. And consequently, he prayed a prayer that we would all do well to pray ourselves. And it is simply this: teach us to number our days. We need that. Why? So that we will value our time. So that we will not waste our time on trivial pursuits. And how much of life is spent on trivial pursuits? It's amazing how much time we spend doing nothing. And so, three things I want to bring to our attention today, hopefully to help us live better in 2020, live better today, live better tomorrow. We need a reminder. We need to read this psalm. We need this message from time to time. So number one today, life is short, live like it. Life is short, live like it. Now, we know that life is short, but quite often we live as though there's no end to it. Every single day of our lives, God Almighty deposits into our bank of time 86,400 seconds of time. And nothing is carried over to the next day. There are no rollover minutes when it comes to time. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. And so we need this constant reminder that our journey here in this world is just a brief one. In fact, there are other terms used in the Bible to describe our journey here. Aliens, pilgrims, sojourners. James says, what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. So what if the doctor told you have 3 months to 6 months to live? That's it. You have 3 to 6 months. Let me ask you, would that change anything in your life? Would you live life differently with that information than if you didn't have that information? And so what would change? Well, I don't want to be the one to spring this on you, but time is running out. It really is. It's running out. It's running rather quick. In fact, the mortality rate among human beings is 100%. So you're not going to get out of this thing alive unless Jesus Christ comes first. And so we need to stop living like we have forever to live, because we don't. You see, our days are few. And until we are gripped, like Moses, by the shortness and the uncertainty of life, we will continue to use the time that God gives us rather foolishly. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going." And so listen, if you want to accomplish something with your life, now is the time to do that. Don't put it off. Don't wait, because you don't know how much time you have left. Time is very short for all of us. Even if we live to be 100, that's nothing when you look at eternity. So time is running out. Now imagine for just a moment if, you know, instead of an hourglass for an hour, imagine that hourglass representing your life. And all the sand in the top part is your life, and the sand in the bottom container is the life you've already lived. You see, the problem with looking at a clock, it just goes round and round and round and round and round. It just seems like you got all the time you need. But when you look at an hourglass, you realize that time is running out, right? And so none of us know how much of our life is in the bottom glass. But for most of us, it's a lot less than it was yesterday and the day before. And so the Bible says, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, for example, verse 16, he says, we're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. And what Paul is saying is, make the most of the time that you have. Use your time wisely. And that's good advice, because life is short. Live like it. But secondly, ask God to give you some perspective. And I believe if we'll get some perspective, we will live a lot better than we do. For example, here's some perspective. Life is short. Heaven's forever. That's perspective, is it not? Sure. But let me read something to you. It's a whole paragraph. It comes from Barnes Notes, commenting on Psalm 90. He writes, "The prayer is that God would enable us to form such an estimate of life that we shall be truly wise, that we might be able to act as if we saw the whole of life, or as if we should do if we saw its end. God sees the end, the time, the manner, the circumstances in which life will close. And although he has wisely hidden that from us, yet he can enable us to act as if we saw it for ourselves, to have the same objects before us, to make as much of life as if we saw when and how it would close. If anyone knew when and where and how he was to die, it might be presumed that it would exert an important influence on him in forming his plans." No doubt it would. "And on his general manner of life. The prayer is that God would enable us to act as if we had such a view." And so, though God does not allow us to see how life will conclude for us, he can give us the wisdom to live as though we knew how our life and when our life would conclude. And so, in other words, we need some perspective. So think for just a moment. If life were, you know, like a book, and you think when you open up a book and you turn the pages and think of those pages as your life. And every page you turn, that's a day of your life. And every day you are turning a page. Listen, eventually you're going to run out of pages. Some of you might want to hang out in the glossary or something like that. But listen, you've already gone through, many of you, a whole lot of pages in your life. And there aren't many pages left to turn. And I don't say that to depress you. I say that so that you will do more with the time that you are given so that you can make the most of life, because that's what God wants us to do. And so I asked you the question a little while ago, if the doctor had informed you that you had 3 to 6 months to live, would you live life differently? Would you do things different than you're doing now? Let me ask you this. Why do we need a doctor telling us that we have 3 to 6 months to live before we act? Why do we need that? Why don't we live every day as though it were the last day? Why don't we live with that perspective? Why don't we value the time that God has given us? As you look back at your life, let me ask you, have you counted each day as a precious gift from God? Have you taken advantage of the opportunities to grow in your relationship with God? Have you invested your time in your loved ones, your marriage, your children? Have you put in a good word for Jesus when the opportunity presented itself? Are you yielding your life in service to God? Because that's exactly what the Bible tells us we're to do. The Bible says, redeem the time. And so every single morning, you are handed 24 golden hours. And they are one of the few things in this world that you get free of charge. Nobody charges you a dime for the time you live. And if you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy one more hour to add to your life. You couldn't do it. If you had all the money in the world. So think about that. What's more important? What's more valuable, time or money? Time is. Time is far more valuable than money. But here's the thing. You just get this one shot. That's what you get. You get this one shot at life. It's up to you to hear God. It's up to you to make the most of the time that He has given to you. Some valuables can be regained. A man can lose his wealth, he can regain it. He can lose his health, he can regain it. He can lose his job, he can get it back. He can even lose his character and rebuild it over time. He can lose his name and restore it. But time cannot be regained. And once it's gone forever. Yesterday is gone. It's over with. It's done. It's over. We need to value the time that God has given us. And God has given us time. And God expects us to use the time that He's given us in His service. And we are stewards. And we're not only stewards of our money, but we're stewards of our time. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God expects us to be good stewards of the treasure that He allots to us or that He gives us. And we should use that in a way that honors Him and furthers His kingdom. But the same is true with our time. It's a very, very valuable commodity. Something we don't value as much, and we need to value more. And it's what this psalm is all about, teaching us to value this thing that's called time. Listen, we don't think about it as parents. You think about redeeming the time. When you have children, those children in your house, about 18 years, and they're gone. So that's the time you have to influence them. If you're going to get through to your kids what's important in life, you better do it in those 18 years, because if you don't, you're probably not going to be able to do it. So you're given a very small amount of time to try to influence your kids. You can't afford to waste days. And you certainly can't afford to waste years where we just sit on a couch and let our kids do whatever they want, come and go. That's not parenting. That's not valuing our time. We need to use the time we have and do everything that God wants us to do with it. We have more than enough time if we will simply use it. But number three, and lastly, focus on deeds, not days. Here's the thing. If we don't plan what we're going to do with our life, then we're going to waste our life. And I can tell you that's the case. Doug said last Sunday, if he doesn't write it down on the calendar, it doesn't happen. And that's true. That is absolutely true. And so I want to challenge you to do something. And this is something that I began doing about 20 years ago, 22 years ago, something like that. And it's something that has really been something that I have cherished. And that is every single day I write down things that I want to accomplish, that I want to make two visits today, that I want to make a phone call, or I want to pray with someone about something. And it's on my list. And I accomplish those things in every single. And one of the greatest feelings in the world is to know I lived this day and made a difference. Because let me ask you, what did you do yesterday that made a difference? What did you do the day before that made a difference? I mean, think about it. We are not good stewards of time, right? We just throw time as though we have all kinds of time to do whatever it is we want to do. But listen, when you write out what you want to do, and the next day you accomplish those things, you feel so good about you because you know that you did something today that matters in eternity. Because much of what we do in this life just falls through the cracks. Just doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. God can care less about our house, about our cars, and all those kinds of things. He can care less about your favorite sports team, right? It doesn't do any good to pray for your team. Well, you want to pray for their safety. Pray that no one gets hurt or injured. But God can care less whether your team wins or my team wins. It's just not important to God. God doesn't value that the way we value that. And so I want to challenge you to just write down. And here's the thing. You don't have to have a long list of things to do. Just two or three things you want to do today, right? And when you do those things, you're going to feel good and you're going to feel like I did something that mattered. I accomplished something that's really, really important, right? And so it makes you feel really good about you. I don't know how you feel when you conclude the day and you look back and you think, I haven't really done anything that matters, right? Didn't spend time with my kids, didn't spend time with my mate, whatever. Just didn't value the time. And I challenge you just to write out two or three things every day you want to accomplish. Because they're on a list, they're there, and you'll do it. If you think in the morning you're going to remember, it's not going to happen, right? And I used to be able to remember everything the night before. But anymore, if I don't write it down, it's gone. And so I just write it down, and then I achieve those things during the day. And I know that I did something for eternity. I did something for a brother, something for a sister that matters and is important. And so I challenge you to do this, to live in deeds, not days, right? And so live every day to accomplish something for God and His kingdom. That's how we need to live our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And so, there we go. And so we must invest our time in what matters, or our life won't matter, right? So if you're not investing it in the things that really matter, so what? Why did I even live? Why am I even here if I didn't accomplish anything? And so I want to make my life count. And I want to encourage you to make your life count. And so real quick, we must invest our time in the things that matter. So there was this time management teacher, and maybe you've been to those seminars where they show you how to manage time. You can't manage time. You can manage yourself within time, but you can't manage time. Time is outside of you. So this guy came, and he put a jar out, and he took these big rocks, and he's sticking them in there, and he filled it to the top with these big rocks, and then asked, is the jar full? And, of course, hands shot up and said, yeah, it's full. Well, then he took some gravel and poured it in all the way to the brim and filled it up and said, is it full now? Of course, nobody said anything at that point in time. And then he took some sand and then poured it in between the gravel and the big rocks and filled it to the brim and said, now is it full? Hands shot up again. Yes, it's full. Well, then he grabbed the pitcher of water And then he poured water into that jar. And he said, so what's the lesson? And hands shot up all over the place and said, no matter how busy you are, you can always squeeze something else in. And the man said, no, that's not it at all. He says, the message is this. You got to put the big rocks in first. Because if you don't put them in first, they're not going to fit. And so what are the big rocks? What are the big rocks in your life? What's your mate, your children, the kingdom of God, your relationship with God. These are the big rocks. These are the things that matter. These are the things that are important. Remember, I said we can spend our lives on trivial pursuits, pursuing all kinds of things that doesn't matter. And when I'm dead and gone, they won't matter. And so we, as God's people, need to figure out what the big rocks are and put them in. Because I'll assure you this, if you don't put the big rocks in, somebody else is going to come along and they're going to fill your time with something else. So you need to determine what's valuable in your life, and you need to spend your life doing those things. You know, I think of Jesus. When he was a young boy, his mom and dad went down to Jerusalem to worship, and then they were returning home only to see that Jesus wasn't amongst them. So he's back in Jerusalem. So we don't know how far they got, but they head back to Jerusalem. And of course, Jesus and or Mary and Joseph, what are you doing? Where you been? You know, typical mom and dad stuff. And he said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And so that's true of us too. We need to be about the Father's business. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be about his business. On another occasion, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's one of those big rocks, the kingdom of God. And so maybe you heard the story about the clock that went crazy at 12 o'clock midnight. It struck 13 times. And the guy's wife began shaking him, saying, honey, wake up, wake up. It's later than it's ever been before. And it's true. It is later than it's ever been before. It's 2020. It's later than it's ever been before. And so, what do we need to do? Well, some of us, perhaps, we need to stop wasting time and start doing the things that will matter, not only here, but when life concludes here. Those are the things I want to do and be a part of, because that's what really matters, and that's what will go beyond this world. Or maybe there's someone in here that isn't right with God, and you need to get right with God. Remember, it's later than it's ever been before, and you don't know how much time you have left. But I know this, if you die and you die in your sins, you will be lost forever. You will be separated from God forever and ever and ever. And that's not his will, because he loved us so much he sent Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with him. And maybe you've never seized a moment before in your life. Well, you have a moment right now. We're going to sing a song, and during the singing of the song, we want to encourage you, if you need to respond to Jesus, to obey the gospel, become his child today, we pray that you will do that. And for the rest of us, I just want to challenge us when it comes to our priorities. I hope and pray that we'll make the most of our time and we'll do the most good with the time that God has allotted. And I challenge you with this. And so whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing. Man.